Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live and with your host, Pastor Al Davis. That's me, Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're glad to talk to you tonight. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to our Friday afternoon programs there as well. And there's a number of articles there that I've written on a variety of subjects. And there's a link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. And that's at livewithpastoral.com. But if you want to call us tonight, get on the program tonight, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. And we're talking with Terry here. And Terry, are you still there?
Yes.
Hey, we were talking a little bit about global warming there before we hit the break. And during the break, I entered into a search engine. I put in search of, and then I put Ice Age. And the first thing that came up was the In Search Of, and it's on YouTube where you can watch, and it was in 1977, they're talking about the winter, and they're showing these pictures. It looks like the Ice Age was coming. I just remember I was in high school at that time, and when I graduated high school in 1978, everybody was trying to scare us into thinking that the Ice Age was coming, and it's kind of humorous. I just looking at this, somebody put a note on here, a comment on here says, it's like Al Gore took this program and inserted global warming and Shazam, moneymaker speeches. Yeah, just you just substitute global warming for Ice Age, and it's you know, it's the same arguments, it's the same solutions, and it's interesting. All the solutions seem to involve you and I paying more money at the gas pump and more money for your electricity or natural gas or whatever energy you're using, and more taxes, and having less. You know, that's the solution that they had for Ice Age coming, and that's the solution they had for global warming. And now, because it goes all over the place, they call it climate change. But the Bible says that seed time and harvest, it's going to keep going until the end of the age when God gives us a new heaven and a new earth. And I believe that new earth will be restored to the situation that the original earth was, where, as I said, just as we were going into the break, the indications are from what you can see by seeing where there's fossils of trees and things like that, and tropical vegetation in what is the polar regions today, and indeed all around the world, showing that the whole world at one point was more or less a tropical to semi-tropical sort of environment. And
until the fall of man.
Right? Yeah. And even after the fall, really until the global flood that Noah was instructed to build the ark so he could escape it.
Right. And that is because of sin. Yeah, that's why we're having so many problems now.
Yeah.
It's because of sin.
Yeah, and so we've had, you know, back and forth, if you get a major volcanic eruption back in the early 1800s, late 1700s, I'm trying to remember when it was, the year without a summer, there was a major eruption, a volcano, I think it was in the Indonesian islands, and it put so much ash into the air that they actually had frost in, places like Washington, D.C. in June and July. Yeah, it almost killed crops around the world, and things. So it was a hard year for many people, and just because the ash had blanketed and reflected so much sun, but then it went away and it warmed up again. And you can see there's areas where ocean levels have been much lower in certain areas and much higher in certain areas. And so it ebbs and flows, so to speak. And that's why I said after the flood, it's like the earth has been bouncing, you know, from one side to the other, the warm to the cool to the warm to the cool, and becoming more centered. And because of the stress and the trauma, in a sense, that was inflicted on the planet during the course of the events that caused the global flood. So there's some good research on that online. You can go to like Institute for Creation Research or creationscience.com or things like that, and you can find some good information on that. So,
I don't know if I could bring up the subject.
Yes.
I'm going to bring up 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Yeah, because we never really got to your subject, did we?
No, never.
We got off on other things, and I'm going to blame it on Kenny in there because he got us started on.
Sorry. And now we're all hungry.
Yeah, now we're all hungry, yes. But that's okay. Well, let's see. What did you say again? It was 2 Timothy?
2 Timothy chapter 3.
All right, give me just a moment to get over there. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3.
And I believe that this whole chapter is basically talking about what's going on right now in this world.
Oh, yeah, especially when it starts in verse 1, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well,
right.
That's where we're at.
We're men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and so on, all the way down the line.
Yeah.
Disobedient, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Having the form of godliness, all these Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, yeah. All these
well, and out there. That second thing that it says there, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And right. When you mention the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, they're a perfect example of that. And actually, let me interject a thought here, just say we're talking about that. You know, in the past, I've mentioned things about, mine bombs or whatever that have gone off in history, and how in the 1800s there seemed to be a series of these. These are things like philosophies and ideas and stuff that kind of exploded on humanity, and we're still feeling the repercussions of it today. And of course, one of them being communism, other being the German higher criticism and the rejection of the Bible, evolution being another one of them. But you mentioned the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and both of them, again, these are things that came about in the 1800s and going into the early 1900s that we're still feeling the effects of today. A form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They claim, for instance, to be Christian, but yet they deny the deity of Christ. They deny some of the very cardinal truths of the Bible.
Yeah, I just noticed it said small g, having the form of godliness, small g.
Mm-hmm.
I just noticed that.
Right? Yeah, it's form of God, godliness. Yeah. They look religious. They look like almost moral people, and in some cases they are, but yet they deny the true God.
Right. They deny Jesus as the... three part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They deny that. Anybody, of course, we've talked about this many times. And they're ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Yes.
That's another problem that they have.
You know, I've talked with people, and I've heard people, giving speeches and presentations and all that. Their knowledge of the Bible, their knowledge of Scripture, their knowledge of Bible history is far greater than mine, far greater. But they haven't got a clue what it means, how it all fits together. They don't know the truth. They know all the facts, they know all the details, but they don't know what it means. In that respect, they're not much better than my computer. I've got my computer, my laptop sitting right here in front of me. My laptop knows the Bible better than I do. In fact, my laptop knows the Bible in several languages. I don't know it in that many languages, but my laptop has no idea what it means. So.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, unless we understand who Jesus is, we cannot understand any of it.
Yeah.
It's all, and that's how all these religions start. Because they don't recognize who Jesus is.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting what you're saying there. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, when Jesus heals the blind man, and if you read through the entire chapter and you follow what's going on there, it becomes very apparent that the blind man has a greater understanding of the things of God than do the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders. Now, some of them had a much greater knowledge of the scriptures, but this blind man had a much greater understanding of the scriptures, and that's a big difference.
And I believe that the God gave him that understanding.
Yeah. Well,
Jesus, he recognized that Jesus healed him.
Yeah. Well, and also part of it was he was somebody that wanted to know the truth, whereas many of the religious leaders really did not.
No.
So
it took a blind man to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, yeah. So
and the blind shall see, the lame shall walk, and then in verse 13 it says, "But evil men shall and seducers shall walk worse and worse," and that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Deceiving, and being deceived.
Yes, absolutely, and we see that on a daily basis. It's getting greater every day.
Yeah,
that's
what we need to watch out
yeah.
for.
In fact, what he brings up next is why I tell people you need to bring your Bible to church. And if I say something, or your pastor says something, or somebody else on the radio, on the internet, on the TV, wherever says something, check it out according to the scriptures. You know, as Isaiah said, to the law and to the testimony, meaning get your Bible out and compare what the Bible has to say, as he said, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. That's Isaiah 8, was that verse 20? And that's something people need to do. Check things out. Compare scripture with scripture. Compare what you're hearing. Compare what you're seeing. Don't just accept it because, you know, it's Dr. So-and-so or Reverend So-and-so or something like that. Check it out and see if it compares with the scripture, with the Word of God.
And even if they, I've had people say that they believe that Jesus is a God and all that, but their religion seems to be a whack.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that either. That's something that's troubled me over the years. Like the Catholics, you know, they believe that Jesus is God.
Yeah.
In Pentecost, they believe that Jesus is God. God manifested in the flesh, and the one that's Pentecostal believe the same thing, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is how come the religion is so, there's so many false religions out there. Yeah.
They're in good company. They're in good company. The Bible says the devils believe and they tremble. You're not going to find a fallen angel that doesn't believe that Jesus is God. They all know it. They all know it. And so it's no surprise that false religions might know the truth, but just because they know he's God doesn't mean that they have been willing to humble themselves and put themselves under him as their Lord and their Savior. And of course, the fallen angels cannot do that, and there are many human beings who will not do that.
Yeah, Jesus healed somebody in the Bible one time, and the demon said, "Are you here to persecute us or give us our death?"
Before our time, I think is what he said.
Before our time?
Yeah.
Before our time?
Yeah, because they recognize there's a time coming.
Exactly.
In fact, you know, I said my laptop knows the Bible better than I do. I would guarantee if the devil was to appear in person, he could recite the Bible from cover to cover in any language you wanted him to, and probably do it backwards if you wanted him to.
And
he knows it far better. What's that?
he's not to be underestimated.
No, no. And people do that. They underestimate a cartoon figure out of him. And he doesn't care. What was it? C.S. Lewis in the Screwtape Letters, which is a very interesting read. It's basically the letters of a more experienced devil trying to mentor a younger devil in how to corrupt people and how to accomplish their infernal works. And I think it's in the opening or in the beginning or something before you get into the book, there's a quote there that says something to the effect of, there's two errors that people can make about devils. One is that there's nothing there, and I'm paraphrasing, that there's nothing there, it's inconsequential, it's all myth and cartoonish. And the other is that you can look for a devil being responsible for every single thing that happens, you know, and the other opposite extreme, basically. And he says, and they don't care really which side you fall to.
And he says that in the last days, if it were possible, even the very elect of God should be deceived.
Yeah, and that's why I can't emphasize the fact that we need to go to the law and to the testimony. In fact, here's another passage, Acts 17:11, where it says here in Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So Paul came and told them, oh, this is who the Messiah is. This is why Jesus is the Messiah. This is why you ought to put your faith in him as your Savior. And they said, well, it sounds good, and Paul's, you know, this well-known evangelist, and he's got this tremendous training. We'll just believe him. No, that's not what they did. It says they searched the scriptures. They checked out the things that he said, and then they believed him because he lined up with the scriptures. And the Bible here in Acts 17:11 says they were nobler than those in Thessalonica, because in Thessalonica people said, hey, this is Paul. He knows what he's talking about. Let's listen to him. Oh, yeah, it makes sense. Let's believe him. But then when they went to Berea, after they left Thessalonica, they went to Berea, and the Bereans said, well, what you're saying sounds good. Let's check it out with the scripture. Let's do what Isaiah said to the law and to the testimony, and let's see if it lines up with the scripture. And when they found out that what Paul was saying lined up with the scripture, it says then they believed him. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, verse 12, therefore, meaning because of that, many of them believed.
Yeah, and too many people just go to church and they just take whatever comes down the pipe.
Oh, they don't even take a Bible with them. They don't even take a Bible with them.
Actually, I go to churches and I don't even see anybody with a Bible anymore.
Yeah. No, you know, when I'm in church, I want somebody to have the Bible open on their lap, because you know what? I might get cross-eyed and read something wrong. I might forget a word. I might accidentally say the wrong word when I'm reading something because I get, you know, turned around, or you know, sometimes my eye will jump down to the next line, or I'll skip a word and I'll read something. And I don't mind at all when somebody says, you missed a word or something. I can go back and read it correctly. Because it helps keep me in line, and all too often people just, he's the pastor, whatever he says, he must know what he's talking about, and that's, you know, a throwback to churches, you know, where people are never asked to read the scriptures, they're just asked to come to the service and listen to what's said, you know, in the mosque. When a Muslim in Canada or the United States goes to the mosque and they read the Quran in Arabic, and they give a message or something in Arabic portion there, and a lot of the people don't know Arabic, but they just sit there because that's what you do. And it's kind of like, remember the Catholic Church when it was the Latin Mass? And there are some Latin Mass churches, you know, Catholic churches today, and people go to those churches. I've talked with people who grew up when that's all you had, and they said, yeah, the priest would come out, you know, he'd read something in Latin, and he'd say some stuff in Latin. I had no idea what he was saying, but you just did that because that's what you did.
Right, and that's the whole problem in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
But people just listen to what people say, and that's it.
Yeah, but
they don't search the scriptures for themselves to find out if these things are true.
Exactly, and in fact, if you look closely at what Paul brought up here in talking to Timothy, where we were reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 14 and 15, where he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He's saying, go back to the scriptures. When evil men and seducers wax worse and worse.
Yeah, and that's what Timothy knew the scriptures from birth.
Yeah, because his godly grandmother, his Lois and Eunice, and they trained him in the scriptures when he was a little boy.
Yeah,
and
he knew the scriptures.
Yeah,
well,
and you know when you get into chapter 4. And he says in verse number 2, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables."
Right.
You know, the devil wants to get you out of the Bible. That's all there is to it.
And people want to go to where they want to hear what they want to hear. They don't want to hear what they should hear.
Yeah.
That's a big problem, too.
See, this is why I like preaching through books of the Bible, because on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through Proverbs, and I'm in Proverbs 28 right now, and there's a lot in Proverbs that if I was not preaching through the book of Proverbs, I'd probably never touch on, because it's just, I would look at it, and I would say, maybe I'll save this for later, and later would probably never come. But because I'm going through, I'm forced to preach the whole counsel of God, and I learn a lot going through these books of the Bible. I'm going through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings right now, and you know I mentioned the blind man in John chapter 9. Well, we were in that a few weeks ago, and we actually spent several weeks on Sunday morning going through John chapter 9. And I don't know about people in the church, but I learned a tremendous amount about what was going on in John chapter 9 with the blind man and the religious leaders and Jesus and his disciples. I learned a lot myself just going through preparing for that, and that's one of the reasons I like preaching through books of the Bible too, because I learn, and it blesses me, and so hopefully, if it blesses me, it blesses somebody else.
Yeah, and we can never say we know all to everything.
No.
Never.
No.
I mean, we only prophesy in part, we know in part or prophesy in part,
mm-hmm.
but that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with.
Yeah.
So we only know what we know.
Well, and even when I read something and go through something now, a year later, I might be looking at it and scratching my head saying, oh, wait a minute, what does this mean again? Because I don't necessarily remember every single thing that we go through. So it's always a challenge. And I see I've got another caller calling in, too. But,
okay. And Paul says, consider every man a liar and God the truth.
Yeah. And so, again, that's why we need to go to the law and to the testimony. Search the scriptures. And compare.
I'll share one more scripture in Timothy, and this mm-hmm. one is one of my favorites. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Right.
That the man of God may be perfectly, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Yes. Exactly. And that's the key right there. That's why we need to preach the Word of God. Because that's what we need.
Nancy,
that's what's going to keep us.
Season. Yeah. Didn't Nancy bring that up?
I think so. So.
But anyway, okay. Thank you for taking my call, and I know you got another caller. So
thank you, and happy Canada Day to you. So.
Thank you, and the same with you guys. Happy.
Yeah. So thank you very much, Terry. Thank you. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Mark who's called in here this evening. Mark, we'll get you on here right now.
Hello, Pastor Al.
Hi, how you doing?
Not bad.
Oh, God bless. Good to hear from you tonight.
From the Friday night.
Yeah.
Well, I just figure I'm cruising around, and it's the only way I listen, usually in my car. And, I like the conversation. You know, it's wonderful. I just wanted to add a few things, which people mm-hmm. don't realize. You know, when he says, you know, faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it says, you know, those that have ears, let them hear. Mm-hmm. And then it says there'll be few that find it, you know.
Right.
So, you know, everybody takes it for granted. You know, everybody's self-approved, saved person, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They throw away the stuff that says, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I was a little bit thrown back when God says few. I said, even when he called me for ministry, you know, I said, you know, why? What do you mean? What's a few? 100? 200? What? You know, 1,000? But no, when you think about, there was about 100, they estimate, according to, you know, Google, about 100 billion people on earth so far. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have
who've lived over time, yeah.
You know, that lived on earth, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you take a few from there, you know, it can be in the billion, 1 billion or two. But majority is not going to be saved because, you know, they do that tickling ear, you know, like you were just saying.
Right.
You know, it's almost like I'm not going to the ballroom. I'm going to the church to kind of enjoy for pleasure, you know, and, you know, but. And the churches too, you know, half of them, it's a business. I know. That's why I'm not really good. When God called me, I went about half a dozen, if not more, about a dozen churches mm-hmm. in Cleveland. And you know, I'm not, you know, it's there's people are not saved. You know, they can come there, sing the music mm-hmm. and do what they do and dress nice and show up every week. But, you know, how else I notice about what's happening in some of these churches, I've got 20, 30 people left, you know, like I'll come back after a year later, they went to another church and, you know, like usually if it's a Bible preaching church, it should just grow, you know, it's not like, well, you know, I'm going to go somewhere else and maybe I'll come back and, you know, and it's sad right now. I'm actually going through one guy that, but you always try to have hope, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He actually bought a tent, and he didn't even set it up yet. You know, that tent cost like $9,000. You know, to have some revivals all over the city. He still hasn't found a place. I was trying to help him out, but you know, he's like it's his show. You know?
Yeah.
You know. It's like, you know, they act like, you know, nobody else is called for ministry. Just, you know, but you need to have people to help you, you know,
mm-hmm.
To help it, you know, help it grow. And he finally, you know, after he heard one of my sermons, which I was invited to one church to preach, because God set that up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a 23-minute sermon that, oh, he goes, you're a good teacher. You know, I said, I'm not a teacher. You got prepared me already. Okay, a teacher, preacher, it's pretty much similar. But I said, he prepared me for 30 years. I'm ready. You know, like right now, even in my heart, you know, it's like I want to do, you know, go out, reach people. I want to go missionary. You know, I want to, you know, bring in a harvest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, these churches, some of them that even offered, like, oh, we'll go missionaries. No, they don't. How many people are you going to find, you know, in Cleveland or whatever, to uproot, leave his home and just go anywhere? You know, like, if you get a guy that is willing to do that, you know, you don't let him out of the office till he signs some papers, you know? And, But they just do it like to cover their base. They got like some little missionary somewhere, who knows where, just a little thing. You know, they put their truck, supposedly the one, that, what do you call it, where, you know, help in relief. And then they face it like 4 or 5 parking spaces, you know, just so, you know, kind of like so people see that they're like doing some relief stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, God says what you do in secret, you know, you put it in public.
Right. Hey, Mark, I hear the music coming up. We're going to have a break here. So.
Oh, yeah.
But again, a call to service that we need to all be involved. We all should be missionaries, shouldn't we? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a calling. That's a blessing.
Hey, we got a break coming up. I want to thank you for that. And stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. We've got a little bit of time left here this evening. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And in this half hour, I was wanting to touch on some stuff from the presidential debate the other night, as well as some things that have happened since then. And so we'll touch on a couple of things there here in this last half hour. But again, if you want to try and give us a call tonight, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we can get you on the air here with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I, reminder, check us out online, live at pastoral.com. That's live at pastoral.com. Well, I was looking at some things, and I watched the debate on Thursday night, and I talk about it during the program last Friday. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to last Friday's program. There might be a little carryover on some of these things, and a few of the clips that I have I played on Friday, but I think they're instrumental in something else that I wanted to bring out that's been happening since then. But since last Friday, of course, you know, immediately after the debate, Jill Biden, after she had to carefully walk him down the one step where he looked like he was ready to fall over at any moment, and then she had him out there saying, "Oh, you did good, Joe. You did. You knew all
you
the
answered
facts.
Every question.
Answered every question.
Talking to him like he's a kindergartner finishing a coloring contest.
You know what I was waiting for him to do, waiting for her to do? I was waiting for her to say, "You're such a good boy," and pat him on the head and give him a kibble.
Give him some ice cream.
Yeah, give him some ice cream. There we go. I it was all that was missing from that. "You're such a good boy," and pat him on the head, give him some ice cream. But, well, since that time, there's been a lot of discussion. I mean, I shouldn't even say since that time. It began during the debate. That
it began 2 minutes into the debate.
Yeah, if it even that long. And, you know, and it's like a lot of people said, he spent a week preparing. Who knows how many drugs that they had injected him with. And this was the best that he could do. And we've been seeing this. And now there's some talk, will he be the actual nomination? And I was talking to somebody yesterday. I said, I'm kind of like 50-50. I can make a case either way right now. And so I think this coming week is going to be very interesting because he was supposed to be secluded with family, meaning his wife, Jill, as to whether he should stay in the race or not. But I found it rather interesting. He was in a rally, I think it was North Carolina on Friday, and for all intents and purposes, I don't think he did a whole lot better than he did during the debate on Thursday, but there were some interesting things that were said. Jill, of course, trying to get the crowd warmed up, she had some things to say, and so we got a clip here. This is clip number 9, Jill Biden at the rally.
What you saw last night on the debate stage was Joe Biden, a president with integrity and character, who told the truth. And Donald Trump told lie after lie after lie.
I love that screechy lie. Just like like the harpies.
Ugh.
But fingernails on the blackboard. And not to be outdone, Joe Biden, of course, had to tell us, you know, there's tells that people have, you know, on how you can know they're about to do something or what they're saying, they're lying or something like that. Joe Biden's, one of his tells is he'll say something like, "No joke," or "This is truth." You know, "This is true, no joke." And you know, whatever's coming is a lie. But Joe told us how honest he is as well at the rally. And this is cut number 8.
Let me close with this. I know I'm not a young man. State the obvious. Well, I know. Well. As easy as I used to. I don't speak as smoothly as I used to. I don't debate as well as I used to. But I know what I do know. I know how to tell the truth. I know right from wrong. And I know how to do this job. I know how to get things done. I know, like millions of Americans know, when you get knocked down, you get back up.
Well, you know, I there it is, Jill and Joe, two peas in a pod in a sense. But so Jill says that all Joe does is tell the truth. He's the most honest politician. That, I mean, Abraham Lincoln would have learned from him, you know, honest Joe. And Joe, of course, told us in no uncertain terms how he knows the truth. He knows right from wrong. He knows all of this so much better than Donald Trump. Well, we're going to listen to an exchange that took place during the debate Thursday night. And after this exchange, I want to point something out, and we're going to listen to something that took place 4 years ago. Actually, a couple of things took place 4 years ago. And we're going to see just how much that Joe Biden loves to tell the truth. He's so honest that he puts Abraham Lincoln to shame. This is cut number one.
We're also in a situation where we have great respect for veterans. My son spent a year in Iraq, living one next to one of those burn pits, came back with stage 4 glioblastoma. I was recently in France for D-Day, and I spoke all about those heroes that died. I went to the World War I cemetery he refused to go to. He was standing with his 4-star general. And he told me, he said, I don't want to go in there because they're a bunch of losers and suckers. My son was not a loser, was not a sucker. You're the sucker. You're the loser.
President Trump?
First of all, that was a made-up quote, suckers and losers. They made it up. It was in a third-rate magazine that's failing, like many of these magazines. He made that up. He put it in commercials. We've notified him. We had 19 people that said I didn't say it. And think of this. Who would say I'm at a cemetery or I'm talking about our veterans? Because nobody's taken better care. I'm so glad this came up and he brought it up. There's nobody that's taken better care of our soldiers than I have. To think that I would, in front of generals and others, say suckers and losers. We have 19 people that said it was never said by me. It was made up by him, just like Russia was made up, just like the 51 intelligence agents are made up. Just like the new thing with the 16 economists are talking, it's the same thing. 51 intelligence agents said that the laptop was Russia disinformation. It wasn't. That came from his son, Hunter. It wasn't Russia disinformation. He made up the suckers and losers, so he should apologize to me right now.
You know, when you listen to that interchange, this idea that President Trump referred to the people who died at D-Day as suckers and losers. And by the way, did you catch that? I guess Bo Biden actually stormed the beaches at Normandy because he said he's not a sucker or a loser.
No. Yeah. I mean, what else has this guy done? I mean, he's traveled in time, went back to D-Day.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's you know, I mean, and it is. It's hard to lose a son. And I don't wish that on anybody. But Joe Biden doesn't really know the truth. And so he lied about the suckers and losers comment. That's been disproven handily time and time again. But the other thing that was brought up was the Hunter laptop, which 4 years ago was brought up in the debate by President Trump. And it led to an interesting interchange. And we're going to listen to that, and then we're going to listen to some follow-up comments. And as you listen to this, and he references the 51 people who signed the letters, 51 intelligence officers. What's kind of ironic, what's her name? Oh, I'm just trying to slip in my mind. The Dana Bash. Her husband's one of the signatories of this letter, saying that saying the laptop is Russian disinformation. They knew when they did that letter that it was authentic. They knew it then. Now today, the New York Times admits that it's correct. In Hunter Biden's recent trial, the White House legal team admitted it was Hunter Biden's laptop. The Department of Homeland Security admits it's Hunter Biden's the Department of Justice admits it's Hunter Biden's laptop. Even the notorious left-leaning Snopes fact-checking site admits it's Hunter Biden's laptop. And yet, apparently, Biden's prep team didn't get the message, and they accused him of the same thing they accused him of 4 years ago, when even then they knew it was Hunter Biden's laptop. Listen to clip two.
50 former national intelligence folks who said that what he's accusing me of is a Russian plant. They have said that this is has all the characteristics. Five former heads of the CIA, both parties, say what he's saying is a bunch of garbage.
A bunch of garbage. Now, Joe Biden lied, blatantly lied about that, and he doubled down on his lie on a campaign spot. And this is clip number three.
It's a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. The vast majority of the intelligence people have come out and said there's no basis at all.
Well, these people were wrong. I was in the intelligence community when I was in the Air Force, and I know some things about it. I know a little bit about it. I didn't spend a lifetime in it, but I was in it long enough, and I handled enough classified documents that I understand some of the principles and things behind, you know, that go on there. And these people absolutely knew that it was authentic, and they lied about it. And it wasn't just Biden that lied about it. The media was in on it. They knew it was wrong. Listen to Leslie Stahl. I think it was 60 Minutes. And this is clip number four, about 4 years ago.
It's this, I think it's one of the biggest scandals I've ever seen. And you don't cover it.
Biggest.
You want to talk about...
Well, because it can't be verified.
You want to talk about insignificant things.
I'm telling you.
Of course it can be verified. Excuse me. They found the laptop. Leslie.
Can't be verified.
What can't be verified?
The laptop.
Why do you say that?
Because
even the family hasn't... The family on the laptop, he's gone into hiding. For 5 days, he's gone into hiding.
He's preparing for your debate.
Oh, it's taken him 5 days to prepare? I doubt it. Okay,
all right. So let's get back to the name calling.
Now, this was something that later on, many people who voted for Biden in the last presidential election said, if we knew that that laptop was authentic, we would not have voted for Biden. That's easy to say that after the fact, but let's give benefit of the doubt. Some of them are being honest. They thought that Donald Trump was lying, and they voted against him because they thought he was a liar. But
election interference to the fullest.
Oh, absolutely. That's the weaponization of our intelligence agencies and personnel.
And the propaganda media.
In the media, the investigative reporters are supposed to get to the truth, but they perpetuate the lie. That's why I had that clip of Leslie Stahl in there. Perpetuating the lie. And it wasn't, you know, that they were ignorant of it. And here's the thing. I've had this discussion with people before. Is it possible to say something that's false and not lie? And I said, absolutely. If I think that, let's just say there's the word penultimate, okay? Let's say that I think the word penultimate means the pinnacle, the greatest that you can height that you can reach. And so I tell everybody penultimate means it's the highest height that you can reach. You can't get any higher. It's higher than the ultimate. Well, I'm wrong. But if I'm saying that because I think that that's what it means, I'm not lying. I'm telling what I think is the truth. Penultimate means actually the second highest. There's the penultimate and then the ultimate. So I'm actually saying something that's wrong. But if I know that penultimate is the second highest and I say that it's higher than ultimate, then I'm lying. But if I honestly think, and I'm saying something incorrect, but I think it's correct, I may be wrong, but I'm not lying because I'm not intentionally trying to deceive somebody. Well, what did we have 4 years ago? We had very provable that the Biden campaign, the Democrat Party, the media establishment, the intelligence community was absolutely lying. What would Jesus say about them today? I'll tell you what Jesus would say about them today. John chapter 8, Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's what I think Jesus would say to them, because as we played those clips, these people knew the truth, and they flat out lied. They did it to influence the election. They did it to deceive voters. You know, I used to have a membership in a group called the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, and it was so blatant that I stopped renewing my membership there because I was fed up. It was ridiculous. The lies that they were putting out just because they hated Donald Trump. You know, that's why they call it Trump derangement syndrome. Because it's a sickness. It is a sickness. And they believe that they are justified in their lies, in their manipulations, in their deceptions, because they hate him that much. Well, as Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. And said, when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh it of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. These people lie, and they don't bat an eye. If you could see the video of that one clip that I played, that was Joe Biden talking, not during the debate 4 years ago, but when he was talking about how Donald Trump lied. Now, one thing you'll be struck with is how much younger he looks 4 years ago than today. And even 4 years ago, he was tottering about and campaigning from the basement. But he looks right into the camera. It's no different than when he says, not a joke. I'm telling you the truth. Now, the moment he does stuff like that, you know he's lying through his teeth. Well, when Leslie Stahl tried to say, it's not been verified. She knew it had been verified. You know, here you go. You've got this laptop that Hunter Biden leaves in the computer repair shop. He never picks it up. So finally, the owner who's, you know, worked on it and not been paid, nobody picks it up. He does what is typical. He confiscates it. And when he begins to look at it, he realizes there's some stuff on there that the FBI should be aware of. And the FBI gets it, and the FBI verified it even back then. And now it comes out as the intelligence community calling it Russian disinformation. An absolute lie. And the Biden family says, it's Russian disinformation. It's all a ploy. It's not real. And oh, by the way, you've stolen our property. Wait a minute. It's not real. By the way, you've stolen our property. Which is it? Is it real or is it not real? They knew back then it was real. The New York Times knew that it was real. CNN, well, I don't know about CNN. There's some pretty slow people.
They might not know anything.
They might not have known it. But everybody now knows that it was real. And yet, still to this day, as recently as last Thursday, there is Donald Trump presenting the truth only to be denied by the Biden family. Joe and Jill just Friday calling Trump a liar.
But notice that the CNN moderators did not jump in to try to call Trump a liar on that either.
Right. They knew better this time, especially with Dana Bash sitting there. I mean, I can imagine if she'd have jumped in and said, well, wait a minute, that's not verified. I could have just seen Donald Trump look at her and say, Dana, your own husband, why don't you ask him? Well, you know, this is America today. This is the Biden administration built on lies. What's going to happen? Pray for our country. I don't know what's going to happen in the coming weeks. I don't know. Is he going to stay on the ticket? There's a lot of Democrats that want to get rid of him. Some people suggest that the reason that this debate was so early was an effort to show him for what he is so that they have time to replace him. And who are they going to replace him with? And what do you do about Kamala Harris?
It's got to be Kamala. I think a lot of the states for the ballot, it has to be her.
But here's a thought. Now, it's just a thought occurred to me today. I'm not going to say this is a genius thought or it's going to happen. But think about this. She's considered less desirable than Joe Biden. So what are they going to do with her if they ditch her for Guy Newsom or Gretchen Whitmore or Michelle Obama or somebody, or even Hillary Clinton. She's being floated again. What are they going to do with her? She's not going to go quietly into the night. But what if they do this? This is a scenario. What if next week the Bidens come out and Jill says, you know, my husband has given so much to this country and it's just wearing him out. We had a conversation. We talked as a family and he's not going to run for reelection. Wow. That's going to be Kamala or what? And not only that, it's just for the good of the country in the difficult times that we live in, he's resigning the presidency. Kamala Harris would become president. What if behind the scenes they work a deal with her saying, listen, Kamala, you're not going to run for president, but if you play ball, we'll let you be the first woman president. You'll get to be president. You'll be president number 47. You'll be there for a few years, but you're not going to run for re-election. You'll do like President Johnson did, Lyndon Johnson in the 60s, not going to run for re-election. But you'll get to be president. Your name will be in the history books.
You'll get all the perks.
All the perks. You have achieved your dream, the highest office in the land. And not only that, the first woman president. If you'll go quietly and allow us to bring in, fill in the blank, whoever they bring in. I'm trying to think of a way that they can get rid of Kamala, short of her having some kind of health emergency herself. And if Joe Biden bows out of the race this week and then bows out of the office as president and they turn things over to Kamala, I'm going to scratch my head on that one. I'm not saying I'm a prophet or I got any inside information on that, but it's
I thought the same thing this week,
you know, how do you get rid of Kamala without her causing a fuss? Because if she was ditched, I think she'd go out fighting. Well, who knows? Pray for our country. The Bible says we ought to pray for kings and all that are in authority over us, that we can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness. And you know, that type of there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we need to pray for our country and pray for these people. They're human beings with souls. Even Joe Biden needs to be saved. Kamala needs to be saved. Jill Biden needs to be saved. Pray for them. Pray for our country. Don't give up. Don't be overwhelmed. God put us here at this time for a reason. Stay in the fight. Make a difference. Let your voice be heard. Don't be cowed. Get out there and vote in November. Do what you can to support. I'm unabashedly standing for Donald Trump right now. He's not perfect, but I think he's the best candidate, best man for the job right now. And I hope you'll continue to pray. Thanks for listening tonight. God bless and have a great week. Happy 4th of July.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.